Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
And guess who we invited in early today?
Yeah, and guess who accepted the invitation immediately? Yes. Thank you so much.
Coach Matt.
It's so good to see you, but you looked a little nervous walking in here as fire and smoke were, smoke definitely was coming out of Don Davenport's ears.
Look, I've been in a lot of locker rooms in my life. I've been in some fights. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of dog fights. I know when somebody's mad. I mean, and I know when something's getting ready. And when I stepped around the corner and looked in that window, And I was proud of her, though. I mean, I really was, because I knew that she was making a point that she was right on. And so I couldn't.
My arms were flailing. That's usually what happens.
No, you were pointing pretty emphatically.
Yeah, and she uses her hands a lot.
No, she is. Talks, she talks with her hands, but she was pointing emphatically. And when I looked through that window, I knew I was stepping into a charged atmosphere already, which I'm not scared. I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's game week. NFL opens the season this weekend, Coach, and it's a good time of year.
No, this is
good,
great. I mean, this really is. And from the draft on, this is what every franchise is waiting for. It's what all the fan base is waiting for. And I promise you guys this, as much as our fans are anticipating this ball game here, the players and coaches are right on that point. This is important, because this is everything that you've worked on and culminated your planning, and you know, the ups and downs that you go through from a draft to this point. But there's nothing like, once you get your squad cut down and you have that first, I'm speaking from a coaching perspective, and you have that first team meeting, and you and see those guys out there, and everybody's looking right at you, knowing that a game plan is getting ready to come in, and then now everything you're talking about, everything counts. Everything counts in a big way, and everything has a huge importance for everybody involved. And when I say everybody, I'm not just talking about the team. I'm talking about the fans. I'm talking about people that invest a lot into this National Football League. It's extremely important. It's a great week, and I can't wait. But here's the other thing. You have to wait, because there's a process that you have to go through if you're really going to be prepared for 3.5 hours on Sunday. And so we're in that process now, but it's exciting going through it.
Real quick, talk about the roster and the cuts over the weekend. 4 undrafted rookies made the roster. And then to further that point, Jim White had the story, TitansOnline.com. Out of the 53 players on this roster, 17 are undrafted. That tells you a little bit about the makeup of that locker room, right?
Well, absolutely. And here's, and I've said this, and you guys have heard me say it, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, with our listeners. I've experienced it for 33 years in this league. A lot of times, I am not worried about pedigree in my locker room. I'm worried about production. And that's all I really care about. And it really doesn't matter how you get into a National Football League facility. Once you are there, it's what you do. And I will say this too, and I will say this with all honesty, regardless of how you get in there, if you are not up to the task, you're not going to stay in there. Every day in the National Football League for a player and a coach is an interview. And it's extremely important to understand that you don't just pick things out of the air and choose people to be on a National Football League team by chance. Everybody that is in there has earned it. And as I said, once I started really realizing what it took to win in the National Football League, pedigree took a real back seat to production.
Coach, you were talking about the process, and we're in it, the process to getting to Sunday. Before we kind of dig in and X's and O's and all that, today, everyone but one guy back on the practice field from an injury standpoint. Is Wednesday kind of the day where, if you're injured, you have to be a full go on the practice field for us to see you on Sunday kind of thing? Or does it differ with teams, coaches, or where you are in the season?
Excellent question. It differs with teams. And Wednesday is usually not the day. Most teams, Don, that I've been associated with, and then, you know, all the years investing with other coaches, because when I was coaching in the league, believe me, in the off season, and even sometimes during the season with somebody I really trusted, I would bounce ideas off of them, you know, about, you know, during the season, about, you know, practice schedules, about times, a lot of things. I mean, this is a really close fraternity in this league. But to your question, Friday is mostly that day. If you haven't been able to do, if you can't get out there and really do something on Friday, well, then there's a good chance, unless the extenuating circumstances are so different, you're probably not going to play. Wednesday, and it's, now we're coming off the preseason, so it's a little different now, Don. During the season, Wednesday is still a little bit of a recovery day, even though Tuesday, they say, is your day off. You know, I mean, it's been proven that, you know, especially as the season wears on, the accumulation of the effects of a National Football League season and a game on a player are still evident on a Wednesday. So to your question, Friday's normally that day.
Okay. That's surprising. I thought it would be a little bit earlier in the week. So interesting. Okay. Coach Vrabel said something, and we talked about this on the show yesterday a little bit, but after practice yesterday, when he talked about Matt LaFleur holding some things back because he's been burned by cutdowns before when it comes to installing offense, talking about Luke Falk now with the Dolphins. Two-part question. You ever been burned on cutdowns, or a team you're on, I guess, ever been burned on cutdowns by something like that? One, and two, the first thing that popped in my mind was, dang, we haven't seen a lot of this offense, maybe.
Well, first of all, you haven't seen a lot of the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true, and we've known that, and that's for a reason. Now, as far as, you know, bringing somebody else in off your squad to get intel from them, I did that for 31 years. And you absolutely do it. I mean, it's part of it. Now, here is what you need to understand, and everybody needs to understand this. You can give somebody your entire playbook, but they still have to know when you're going to call it, how it's going to be called,
recognize it.
Yeah. And now, we always felt like, and again, for 31 years, and when, you know, as a defensive staff, if we ever brought somebody in, and really, when you bring a quarterback in, that's normally the guy you want to bring in because mm-hmm. he's got a big picture of it. You know, just like if you're bringing somebody in defensively to get intel from, you really like to bring a safety or a linebacker in.
Because they know the signals.
Well, they know, not only the signal, they know the whole scheme. They see the big picture. You know, they see the big picture of, okay, now, talking about getting intel from somebody. He could be able to tell them snap count. He can tell them, you know, audibles, all those types of things. Most teams, you have that. I mean, if you really sit and watch a TV copy of a game, I'll just tell you this. Everybody watches TV copies of the games, and the way those parabolic mics pick it up now, we would sync up the two-minute calls with what was going on the field. And so you would know the two-minute calls right now, and you can get two-minute signals. You still have to execute. Now, here's the other thing that we were always very careful about when you gather intel. First of all, you can gather so much information that you paralyze your players.
Yeah.
And there are only certain players can handle that much information. And at the same time, you don't want to overload your players' performances with other thoughts. They've been working on something all year, and then all of a sudden you're going to put in, okay, when you hear this, this is this, when you hear this, this is this, look for this, look for this, look for that, look for that. All of a sudden you're looking for this, looking for that, you're getting hit right in the mouth, okay? and that is a big, big part of it, and you have to be careful who you disseminate that information to on your football team, and then what type of bullet points you want to use. The fact that you're doing it off of the preseason even lessens diminishes the amount of information he could have. We never really worried about it, but being paranoid, like all coaches are.
They're all paranoid.
Anytime, and again, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And for a long time have been and always will be. And when you pull people in, you like all that information, but then all of a sudden you've got to be sophisticated enough and experienced enough to know just what you can and can't use.
And the last thing you want to do is hand more information to a younger guy who's sitting there still trying to get his feet wet and pick everything.
Right. He might not even know what he's giving you. Right. I mean, you're talking about a draft pick.
Let me tell you, and a guy here that we all dearly love in this city, and I do too, I've coached some really good players in my career, and this is one of the better players I ever coached in Keith Bullock.
Yes. Mr. Monday Night.
When KB and I were together, and we had all kind of stuff on Peyton Manning, and finally after a while, KB looked at me and go, Mac, that's enough. I don't need all that.
Just let me go out and play.
Let me play. Let me play with all our plans already. I don't need all that. Just a little bit's enough. And he's right.
Join the Happy Hiller Club for just six.
Dave McGinnis, his visit. Brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Titans Radio broadcast from Miami this weekend. You could be going to worse places.
There's no worse place to go in the National Football League. I mean, you're in the NFL. I mean, right?
Might beg to differ there, Coach.
You're in the NFL. I mean, it's.
I'd rather go to Miami than like Buffalo in December.
In December, yes, because
okay, look,
I was with Buffalo trip in December 1 year.
I know you were with. Ooh.
Never want to go to Foxborough,
Don. I know you're with y'all. Okay, when we went to Buffalo,
y'all.
When
you
we went
see
to
why
Buffalo.
I didn't like Buffalo with my y'all.
Well, that's why I came back to Nashville because everybody says y'all here. I mean, that's I love. That.
People are nice here, right?
This is the best. I mean,
everybody comes back.
This is the best. I mean, anyway, I've been broadcasting now for what? This is my second year.
Oh, you're a seasoned veteran.
I have never, and I don't know. I might be wrong. Y'all tell me. Is there a broadcast booth that's outside? I don't know that there is one. So the elements,
I've heard Wembley Stadium, you're going to be sitting outside in the
bleachers. I've been to Wembley three times. And so I know.
Oh, you're a pro.
And the answer is, yes, we will be.
Wow. Like, they're sitting in the bleachers. This is what I've heard. They're sitting, like, in the bleachers. There's John from London right there, and there's Bill from Manchester right there.
It's not exactly like that. It's not. No. Wait. I can tell you. I've been there. It's not exactly like that, but they can pass you some tea and crumpets up like this.
Oh, yeah.
Tea and crumpets.
Yeah. I mean, it's now they've redone the stadium, and by the way, I've been so fortunate in my life. I mean, I've coached games in Gutenberg, Sweden. I've been to Berlin. I've, get to see some pretty unusual places, set up for football. But Wembley's pretty cool.
When is the Coach Mac book coming out? Football and other stuff.
Yeah, hopefully I can say stuff.
maybe you should.
I've been approached about doing that. I was approached last year, with three different groups. And in fact, had some meetings in L.A., and it's interesting. If you guys have ever been through that process.
No, Coach, we haven't.
Nobody wants to hear our story.
Oh, wait, please. Okay, look, they ask you to tell some stories.
Yeah.
Just so they can kind of get a flavor once they get a feel for you. And, of course, I started in and they went, you'll say that? This is true? I said, well, yeah. I mean, this is – now, so my – answer is this.
You got to wait till you die to do it.
Yeah. I'm not done. So, I said, and it's not like I need the money they were offering me to get something to eat tomorrow. So I was saying, we can wait a while, but it was interesting.
You don't want to make everybody that you're about to see and work with angry.
No, it wouldn't. But the thing that I don't think would make them angry is it's all going to be true, but it's just, I mean, I've been through some stuff, some fun stuff.
Should be the name of the book. Yeah. Coach Max stuff.
It's like when Kramer bought Peterman's stories because his stories weren't good enough. Somebody's going to buy your stories. Yep. You can just sell them.
Oh, my goodness.
Opener. Because players want to have kind of a form of how things are done when they're done, right? Even though it's the opener, like all summer long, the opener is coming. You could start getting ready whenever you want. Is it smart to kind of fight the urge to get ready too early for the opening game against Miami just to make it more of a usual thing? Like here, Monday's Monday, Tuesday's Tuesday, Wednesday's Wednesday.
You're spot on. Absolutely. You don't want to get too fine too fast, because it's from, you know, the coaching aspect of it. Now, for your guys that are breaking film down and are going, I mean, they're all year working on this, but your players, first of all, here's what you don't want to ever do. You don't ever want to overload your players too early, because they, you know, at the end of the day, you're only going to process so much information. So you've got to be sure you've got it bullet pointed down to the point where everything that you are telling them and everything you are emphasizing is relevant. If you ever start to have to grasp for things to emphasize just because you started too early and you think, well, maybe we need to do this, maybe we need to do that, that's so counterproductive. Now, and the other thing about it is players like to get into a routine. Right. And they like to get into a routine is extremely important for, you know, for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, just like in your daily life, you like to know where things are going to be and what time you're going to do this and what time you're going to do that. And your efficiency level goes up the more that you can get into that routine and have optimum results come from that routine. And so especially this first football game, there are a lot of things that are going on during the preseason that, you know, you're making cuts, you're trying to keep people healthy. I mean, there's so much that goes on. You've got people behind the scenes that have been working on Miami for a long time. But for when you get ready to stand up on Wednesday and start presenting that first and second down game plan, you want it to be precise and you want them to be so dialed in. Now, you have some players that on their own have already started watching tape and have already started watching individual matchups, which is really, really good. I mean, when I was coaching the Chicago Bears and I had Mike Singletary, I couldn't stay enough ahead of him as far as to how he would watch. But you're talking about, you know, a 12-year player that had, you know, and played, you know, the same people and plus running the same defense year after year with no free agency, so he's playing with everybody he's played with for a long time. That's a different world. When you're trying to put a new team together, bringing new pieces in the National Football League now, guys, you're going to bring in about 30% new people every year to your team.
Yeah.
You've got to get everybody on the same page, and the only way to do that is to have a schedule and a routine that everybody is involved with.
How much does it help? I mean, because from everything that I, like, Blaine Bishop was a big tape guy because he said, look, I don't have the physical gifts that a lot of these guys do. I have to work harder than everybody else. I hear that about Kevin Byard too, that he's just a tape junkie and he knows everything about what's going to happen at Woodyard. There's some other guys on this team. That's got to be a huge advantage for those guys.
Oh, well, you as a coach, you encourage that.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is the group think, the group presentation, and For those types of players, you may put a little bit more on their plate because you know you can handle it. But look, let's talk on the defensive side of the ball first. And you guys have heard me say this before, and it's true. A slow, correct decision on defense is wrong. If you're not playing fast in this league defensively, you have got no chance. You've got no chance. And if you're paralyzed mentally before the snap, and then during the snap, you've got no chance to play at optimum speed. So it makes a difference, and it makes a difference how fast the guy next to you is playing too. So everybody has to be playing at the same speed, and then you get your really, really good players, because speed on defense in the National Football League covers up a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. Go ahead.
I was going to say, looking at this defense, heading into this matchup with Miami, biggest concern for the Titans defensively this weekend, what is it?
Well, first of all, Tannehill's back.
Yeah.
And Tannehill's legitimate.
And he's got to prove.
And he's got a lot to prove. You're right. Time. And he's legitimate. You know, you can see what Miami did in the offseason. They went out and they got two really big athletic tight ends in this draft. Okay, and Gesicki and Smythe, you know, one from Penn State, one from Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. These are big, tall, athletic, red zone monster dudes that they're going to split out by themselves. I'm watching, you know, preseason tape, seeing Gesicki split out on the backside of a 3-by-1 formation as a wide receiver. And also, they went out and got Frank Gore, but don't sleep on Kenyon Drake. Now, this guy is dangerous, and I'm talking about removed from the, not only in the backfield, I'm talking about removed from the backfield and a legitimate pass receiving threat.
And not just a dump off guy, right?
No, he's a number one option.
Yeah.
He's a number one option type of a guy. And so what they've done, and you know, Miami had to be frustrated last year too, because you know the whole thing they went through with their quarterback situation. And again, you guys have probably heard me say this before, but in the National Football League, if you can have everything in place, if you don't have a quarterback in place, then you've got a highly paid rugby team. That's all you've got, because that guy makes it go. That guy makes it go. They've got their guy, and Gase, they didn't go out to get anybody else this year. You know, they believed in him. They believed in his rehab. And as you watch the preseason games, which I've watched every preseason game they've played, I've also watched every snap that Tannehill has taken. He's back.
You mentioned Kenyon Drake just real quick, 6'1", 211 as a pass catcher. There you go. He's at least a bigger guy.
No. And he's legitimate. I mean, don't think he's an empty chair. I mean, this guy is a...
He's an empty chair. Coach Mack, that's one of your better comments.
Mickey Ryan over here.
I miss Mickey. This guy is a legitimate two-way threat in this league, big time.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Breaking news from VogueWest.com. Tennessee has lost its starting center. Brent Hubbs with the story. Austin Price with the story. Brandon Kennedy has been lost for the season. Knee injury happened at practice yesterday. Jeremy Pruitt is apparently going to address the situation following practice today. So more on that later in the show.
That's tough. We always talk about depth in the SEC and how important it is, especially when you're looking at the line of scrimmage. Coach, can I ask you about that offensive line? Because I sit there and I watch that game and I say, oh, goodness, it's going to be a long SEC season for this Tennessee offensive line.
Don, it is fair. And first of all, you can ask me anything, and I'll tell you the truth. Okay. Three of those offensive linemen weren't even there during the spring. An offensive line, no matter what level of football you're playing, that is the biggest pack herd mentality that there is on a football team. Those guys have to live, eat, operate as a unit, and they have to be together. They weren't together for a long time, okay? And so the continuity that an offensive line brings stems with being together for a while. They hadn't been together for a while. And yes, they started off very shaky. Now, very
first
shaky.
Quarter?
No. Yes, it was very shaky. Obviously, they weren't happy with it. Here's what I did like. The coaches got them to the sideline. They started making some corrections on what West Virginia was doing. They got that corrected, and then they stayed in there. They persevered. They started grinding and running the football. You know, they had a physical run game going, and you could see them start to coalesce a little bit as the game went on. That start was rough. Now, I would have really been concerned if they would have started like that and then deteriorated through the course of the ball game. They did not do that. Now, this news that I'm just hearing, that you're just breaking, I mean, that's tough. I mean, that is really tough because, you know, the center was transferred and brought in there for specific reasons. And really, the center on your offensive lines are such a key cog part, because apart from your quarterback, those are the guys that point out protections. Those are the guys that also change blocking schemes at the line of scrimmage if you're doing anything like that. And then plus the fact that now you've got to put somebody else in there goes to that continuity, Don, that we're talking about. But look, you're not wrong. They started out really, really rough. But as I say, and for our Tennessee fans out there, and believe me, I'm a huge Tennessee Vols fan, the thing that I liked about it was they persevered through it, and as rough as they started off, it didn't crush them. You could see them start to get better, and that points two things to me. The coaching staff didn't panic, and the players themselves didn't panic.
There you go, Tennessee fan. We can step off the ledge.
How good is Will Greer?
He's seriously good, because I went back and watched some of his games before this, you know, doing the Coach to Coach show
with
Doug Matthews. So I went to watch Will Greer, and I wanted to see for myself, you know, rather than TV scouting, I wanted to go watch tape. And so, first of all, he's an effortless thrower. He can make all the throws. He's got nice touch. The ball spins really easy out of his hands. He's a platform thrower, and by that I mean he does a nice job of getting his base set, but he's also athletic. You saw even in that ball game against Tennessee, he can spin and still square his shoulders back up, and plus he understands. You could tell just the way he drops some of those passes in against man-to-man coverage. He understands how to throw away from leverage. I mean, this is a legitimate quarterback. How much more you want me to say? I mean,
yeah. So at the end of the season, we'll look back at this West Virginia offense and we'll know they're really, really good.
The Wilson Football Factory doesn't make enough balls for this team to throw because they're going to.
Dana Holgorsen, too. Yeah.
Dana is going to spin it all year.
Yeah. Well, and props to Dana Holgorsen at halftime. It's 13-7. They're locked in a battle. It was 10-7 since he had the football late in the first half. They're locked in a battle. He makes some adjustments, finds some things, and boom.
Showed the maturity of his team, too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great point, Don. That was a mature team. But the other point is, I mean, they had some people open early that he missed. And that has to happen. If somebody's throwing it a lot, I mean, I've been a defensive coach for years and years and years, and sometimes you just have to figure if you make them make enough snaps, they're not going to complete and be successful on all of them. You got to have some misses. You got to have some missed throws. You got to have some drops, those types of things. But that West Virginia passing offense, that it's going to be top five in the country at the end. I mean, book that.
Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Players are back. We talked a little bit about this. Coach Mack and good timing. Titans injuries from John Glenn and Morgan with a knee, Evans with a hamstring, Landry with an ankle, Conklin with a knee, all limited in practice, but back out there. Kendrick Lewis, the only guy that did not practice.
Well, and that's, again, it goes to, you know, in the one of the earlier segments, Dawn's question, which is very legit. I mean, you know, those guys, if you've got guys coming back off of injuries or guys that are nicked up a little bit, you start the beginning of the week to start to see where they are, and as you progress during the week, then your training staff and the player themselves will be able to tell you. You know, you'll be able to know by Friday which guys can be loaded up and let's go, and which won't. But it's a progressive thing that you go through during the week. And believe me, it's not just at practice you see, because in the National Football League today, the body maintenance that goes on with professional athletes, it is constant. It's constant, and these guys that last a long time in this league now, and they pass that information on down to the younger players. That's the thing a young player coming into this league needs to learn to do. I mean, nutritionally, everything, how to take care of their bodies, because, you know, their bodies are their livelihood, and to learn to take care of it, I mean, it's a regimen that they have to learn and have to find out what works for them, what doesn't work for them, but it is constant, and that's going on right now.
I know a lot of those players passing it along to some of the college guys. It's amazing, some of the college teams that I see these players starting to treat their bodies already like they're NFL players. And that's, you know, the Alabamas and the schools that have large numbers of guys that they put in the NFL. Coach, you talked about a little bit Miami's offense. Let's kind of flip on the other side of the ball and talk Miami's defense. And obviously Robert Quinn is going to be something to handle. You know him well.
Oh, I mean, Robert Quinn, yeah, again, that defense that we had at the Rams, St. Louis, and then moving to L.A., they were playoff ready for 2 years before last year. And one of the big reasons was Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn is more Gumby than Gumby himself
is. And when you say that, you mean what?
I mean, Robert Quinn can bend his body in the most unbelievable. I mean, it looks like you're watching one of those Marvel comic movies. I mean, the way that he can bend his body and still stay full speed. And then he is a relentless pass rusher off the edge. He's relentless. I can still visualize it in my mind. We were playing Seattle there in St. Louis, and he spun around, and they double teamed him and chipped him. So they got three guys on him. He crawled to the quarterback to get a sack. I mean, look, I mean, it was like Spider-Man going up a wall. I mean, this guy, when he's feeling right now, the last 2 years, he's been injured. He had a back injury that he has back operated on. He hasn't been Robert Quinn for 2 years. And plus, when they stood him up last year in that 3-4 defense, they completely, they, it, he was, that was not him. That's not what he does. What he does is he puts his hand in the ground and he gets in that sprinter stance. And then he is, I mean, he explodes off the football. He can turn the corner. He's got extremely long arms. And the other thing that he does that you know, you've got to be aware of if you're watching him, he's got one of the better spin moves going because he can spin and still get his body straight back to the quarterback in the smallest spaces ever. Robert Quinn, I love him as a player. I loved him as a player on our defense. He was a huge part of why we could do a lot of things defensively because DBs can play a little tighter because they know the quarterback's got to know that stuff is coming off of the edge. And then when we started building that team out there, and they're doing the same thing down there at Miami, they got Cameron Wake coming off the other side right. too. Who, oh, by the way, I mean, that's a real dude. And they've got a new young defensive line coach in there named Chris Kasurik. That is a Jim Washburn disciple. And I'm telling you, he's got him playing that 4-3 right now. And when you watch him play, I mean, he's rotating guys in there and they are rolling. This is going to be a huge, huge matchup. But Robert Quinn is healthy now and playing in a system that utilizes and emphasizes his talents. That's somebody they got to take care of.
William Hayes also on that defensive line rotation.
Yeah, and big play William Hayes is he's an entirely different player, you know, and he's
former Titan, former Ram.
He's a former Titan, former, and we brought him. Jeff Fish and I brought him to the Rams as soon as we could because now this is William is a very physical player. Mm-hmm. William is he was born country strong and he's gotten country stronger, you know. and look, dude, I mean, yeah. And seriously, how long has he been playing in the league? I mean, that's a testimony too. Now, believe me, because you know
he is 33 years old.
Yeah, exactly, and still playing at a high level and can still bring it. And I tell you, one of the best locker room guys ever. And he, this guy is, they've got some defensive linemen down there. And I know what Chris Kasurik likes to do because he learned it from Jim Washburn, who's one of the better defensive line coaches ever to be in the National Football League. He knows how to platoon his people. And plus, he knows how to study offensive linemen and how to get the most out of their pass rush ability.
Talking about this Miami Dolphins defense. And when you look at, we talked about Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake and William Hayes. Looking at the linebackers, a couple of young guys in there. Jerome Baker at weak side, Raekwon McMillan in the middle. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, those are two Ohio State kids. Mm-hmm. Very athletic kids, okay? And basically both rookies, okay? They're both rookies because they both have no playing time. Their veteran there is Kiko Alonso. You know, that's their veteran player. And again, in my personal opinion, which doesn't matter a lot, but here's my personal opinion, is they went out and started trying to fortify that front because they knew they were going to be a little bit light in that second level this year. You know, and they're, you know, starting young players back there. So they're going to count on their pass rush quite a bit. Now, these players are all of those guys you mentioned, they're athletic. They're cover linebackers. They can cover. They can cover. And that's going to be very, very important because of some of the things that I believe the Rams will try to do and will try to exploit. Again, playing linebacker in the National Football League, I coached it for a long, long time. Experience is so important there because, I mean, we've seen it here, and we've seen it here personally just watching Jayon Brown from his first year to his second year. I mean, it's so important. You play with your eyes as a linebacker in this league so much, and it's so important that you understand exactly what you're seeing and where your field of vision is, because when you bring a rookie linebacker into the league, they tend to see everything, and so as a consequence, they see nothing. And then that is probably the most paralyzing position as far as being able to react, you know, quicker than, you know, quick enough and being able to see things before they happen. But what I mean by that, once you get experience in this league, you can start to get ahead of blocks and you can start to learn to read formations. But before you understand all that, it paralyzes you as fast as stuff goes there at that second level of the defense. So hopefully these young linebackers, I will say this about them. I know them. I watched every one of them coming out of the draft. They are very, very athletic. They're good foot athletes, as I like to say. They can play the horizontal. I mean, they can run very, very well. And so, I mean, that's one thing they have going for them. And if you don't have experience, speed and athleticism will carry you until you can learn what you're doing.
So you've watched film on this Miami defense. You know some of the players. What's your game plan for Marcus Mariota and this Titans?
They're gonna be able to run the football. They need to run. They need to be able to run the football. Find ways to run the football. Find ways to. And again, this defense. And again, I know Matt Burke. Matt Burke was my assistant defensive. Was my assistant linebacker coach. That's how he got into the league. Jim Schwartz hired him as a quality control, and so Matt Burke, you know, came up in the league. He was my assistant. And again, very proud of him, very smart. I know his mentality. I worked with Frank Bush, their linebacker coach. I know his mentality. I know Chris Krasurik, their defensive line coach. I know his mentality. They're aggressive coaches. They're going to bring it. And so you're going to have to be able to not only counter that, but all three of those guys that I talk about. And this is important too. And it may sound, you say, well, Coach Mack, isn't everybody like that? And I'm going to say this, and no, everybody's not. People may say they emphasize running to the ball, but when you really get down to it, there are some people that give it lip service, but don't do it. But you know, coaches are doing it when you put on the tape. That's all I ever go off of is when I watch it, and I can tell these are all effort coaches, as far as they emphasize it, they drill it, and it's because I've coached with two of them. I know what Chris Krasurik is just because of Jim Washburn training him, and so it's going to be an all day event for our offense because this defense that we're going to play is a high effort defense constantly.
So would it surprise you if the game plan wasn't pound the rock between the tackles?
Well, I mean, they're going to run it. Now, it don't have to necessarily be between the tackles, but they're going to run it. And here's the other thing that you need to do against a defense that really likes to get kickstart stances and goes, you got to stay ahead of the chains. Because if you stay ahead of chains and you put this type of defense in conflict downs, that'll throttle your engine a little bit. And if you can stay ahead of the chains, that's a big, big part in being able to make these guys. And again, I've coached on defenses where and I love it. I love attacking defenses. But at the same time, if you're constantly in conflict downs and you can never fully take the governor off and just let it roar, then it makes a difference.
It's Coach Dave McGinnis breaking down Miami and Tennessee coming up on Sunday at noon. Lee Company countdown to kickoff begins at 10 a.m. with Mark Howard, Mickey Ryan, Blaine Bishop, Kevin Dyson, and then the Titans radio guys will take it. Mike Keith, Dave McGinnis, Jonathan Hutton on the sideline, Rhett Bryan, executive producer, Titans radio. It's going to be fun.
Coach, are you going to give the Titans radio a nice little pregame speech? Because, you know, your pregame speeches are my favorite. I actually heard you did one for the fantasy football draft. For the
That was so much fun. Night. Those guys asked me to come down there, and I had just gotten, you know, I'd been doing stuff all day, and they, you know, those guys asked me, and I went down. That was a blast. I mean, first of all, that's organized to the T.
Yeah.
I mean, it was impressive. When I walked in there, I mean, I thought I was walking into something, and I was. I mean, it was impressive, and it was so much fun. It's so well organized. And here's the other thing that I really liked. Everybody really wanted to be there.
Yeah,
they wanted to be there. They're having a good time. I mean, it was a great mix of people. And I mean, I had a blast going there. They're meeting all those people are listeners. I mean, you know, meeting all of them and talking to them. And then, yeah, if you ever put a microphone in Coach Mike's hand and tell him to fire somebody up, I did. And I can't say what I said, but I'm going to say this. I know
was it similar to your speech in Kansas City?
Oh, it was close. And I know this, that there were some really good decisions made after that speech because they were fired up.
I love it.
Coach, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're some pretty good Shiano, all right?
Don, that is so solid. That is so solid coming from you.
Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Coach, thank you for the extra time this week.